Thank you. Did you guys enjoy Stevie last month? He's pure gold, that guy. When I met him years ago, he came all the way down from Scotland, and he was just so hungry. I remember sharing stories with him on encountering the presence of God, because we'd had a visitation from the Lord, and you know how God brings favor, didn't he? You know, not self-promotion. God brings favor. And we'd had a powerful visitation from the Lord in our house, and it happened at 11:05 in October 2005, and a roaring sound had come, and the glory of God had come in the house with visible sounds and voices, and angels actually spoke and said they're starting to believe. And this presence came on us, so for the next 3 years, everywhere we were going, it was breaking out. And I happened to be in a conference in Atlanta, and the people at the conference said, "Will you share one in this session?" So myself and my friend shared, and we shared on what we were encountering, the visitation of the Lord. And it was a powerful, powerful testimony. But it got recorded and went viral, and it's back on CDs back then. So Stevie heard it in Scotland. So he came all the way down, and when I met him, all I saw was just pure hunger for God. He'd been touched through the apostolic movement out of Wales, the Welsh revival. He remembers as a kid hearing prophets speak and actually name names and tell people to move house and what job they were going to do. I mean, it was powerful stuff, you know. So he came down, he said, "Would you come to Scotland?" And when I went to Scotland, he couldn't even speak into the microphone. He'd never done that. But God's raising up the nobodies, man. He's not looking for the qualified. He's looking for passion and fire and love for him. And what I found is all over the nation, God's raising up the things that are not to nullify the things that are. He's raising up people like Stevie. And I said to Stevie, just pray into the microphone, because I knew he knew how to pray. That guy can pray, yeah? And he just got up there walking back and forth, praying in the spirit. But, you know, I really believe in allowing a culture where people can make mistakes. And we have to have that kind of culture. We have to be taking risks these days to release what's in the land. So I saw who he was in the future, and I believe the future shapes the present, not our past. The future determines what we're becoming, not what we've been, because we're of a new era. We're of a brand new world. We are a new creation. And I believed in Stevie, and it's been awesome taking him around the world. We've gone to South Africa, America, different nations across Europe, and just seeing what God's doing with Stevie, you know, and he comes in fear and trembling. But what a great testimony. He's engaging the courts of God and shaping things and encountering the saints of old, Cuthbert and Columba. It's amazing what God's doing with grassroots people in the land, you know. And I really honor Stevie. I was so excited. I knew it was in the scroll that he was supposed to be here. So thank you for welcoming Stevie. I think he's a treasure, national treasure. So thank you, guys. I'm going to carry on the series tonight, what we've been engaging. I did hear from the Lord about this series. He spoke to me specifically. It's about raising up the ecclesia and redefining what that is, a heavenly community that encounters heaven in a way we've never done before, and is surrounded by the angelic testimony and engages the saints that have gone before us, because there's only one church in heaven and on earth. I've got scriptures for all this stuff, so don't panic, okay? Don't panic if it clashes with your theology, all right? Let's allow some clashing with our theology based on that we're all powerful. And if you disagree, maintain your power of disagreement, because it's not based on conformity where we're going. It's based on family. And the only right doctrine is Jesus himself. Every one of us who preaches has to admit it's partial what we know right now. But there is increasing revelation coming in our generation like broadband, in the same way that I'm using this iPad and technology's exploding and crazy, crazy new technologies have been released at the moment. In the same way, God is releasing broadband revelation, broadband understanding, and he's teaching a generation. It says that there would be a generation where you'll all be taught from the Lord. You've got the best mentor ever. When people contact me and ask me to mentor them, I say, there's a much better mentor for you than me. Jesus, you're hooked up. You're hooked up. You're in mystic union. You're one spirit with the Lord, and his anointing will teach you, and you've got the mind of Christ. All you've got to do is plunge into it. You've got to access it by engaging his presence, because his presence is the doorway to the entire realm of heaven. So we're a generation that's been taught by the Lord, and in fact, it's going to intensify to the point where it says, be of one mind and one opinion. It says, to the mature, I say this. To the immature, he had certain teachings, Paul. But to the mature, I say, have this one mind. A mystical mind where God infuses knowledge all over the earth. Wow. And we engage the truth, and the truth sets us free. That's what Daniel would saw, would come hubs of wisdom, hubs of revelation, where the shining ones would emerge in the latter day. It says the mysteries are locked up until the latter day. We're in the latter day. We are in the latter day. We're in the day of the unveiling of the mysteries of heaven. That means we're all going beyond what we've known, and we've got to not restrict God to our past. Because what no eye has seen and no ear has heard is now being revealed, which means we've not heard it, we've not seen it, so we've got to be open. This is why we've got to know the truth, and the truth is a person. If we know the truth will set us free, and we won't be in fear. Because perfect love casts out fear, and when we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we get a transformational revelation out of his realm that hasn't come through natural knowledge, because the solutions to our generation are going to be as in the days of Noah. Noah's pattern was not on the earth. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. We're in a day where the pattern is in heaven, and the model and the blueprint is beyond the veil which he has opened up. And there's always been a battle over whether we'll go beyond the veil. And that's the battle that is being torn apart by culture right now, because the whole world's going supernatural. Okay? So Larry Randolph says this: the world is fast approaching an era of supernatural awareness. Fortune telling, telepathic communication, palmistry, horoscope predictions, and other paranormal activities are experiencing a revival of popularity. Our desire to hear from the other side has spawned a host of psychics for hire and other mediums of celebrity status that reportedly see our past, predict our future, and communicate with our dead relatives. On a daily basis, we are bombarded with the sound of insight into the unknown. And Larry says this: what does this tell us? It tells us we're in the middle of an awakening. We are in a spiritual awakening. I was reading in The Independent just this week that atheists are a dying breed. This is true. Globally, atheists are a dying breed. We are in a new spiritual era of wonder, and Hollywood is prophesying where we're not. Hollywood is speaking that there's other dimensions, that we've got a supernatural capacity, that there's more to us than just being on this planet. The whole cosmos expects us, that we're meant to move into dimensions, that we're gateways, portals. We are the gates. We've got eternity in our heart, that there's something about humanity that's like nothing else in all of creation. There's nothing like us. And we're dreaming off the chart dreams, because if you could see it, you can have it. So God's expanding our capacity to dream right now. And he's saying, in the last days you will dream dreams. And Hollywood's dreaming on our behalf so that we begin to dream what's possible. Because with God, all things are possible. And we're moving into days of awe and wonder. Rick Joyner says this: if man is not restored to his right relationship with God, the desire for the supernatural will be filled with the devil's counterfeits. If you deny children their food, they're going to eat something, and it will likely be very bad. This is a tragedy, but it will not continue. Wee-hee! The unveiling is beginning. So when I'm saying all these things, you're going to change. Because the change isn't happening outside of you. It's in you and around you and through you. You are going to be the carrier of that era. The real you is going to begin to manifest in ways that you've never seen before, never thought of before. You've got to be able to say to yourself, I don't know who you are anymore. Because we're a brand new world that's emerging to show this world what it's becoming. We're from the future now. C.S. Lewis says this: if I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. You can only hunger for something that exists. So the gospel is coming back. We're realizing the gospel, that the gospel wasn't just a saviorist plan to get us into heaven when we die. The gospel was, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That we have already died. We've been co-planted into his death. Death owes us nothing. We have died to the law, died to sin, died to the law of death. We are under the law of grace, which produces righteousness and life. We've been given the gospel of life and immortality, and now we're able to access heaven through the door. It's open. Death does not open it. What opens it is believing. 2 Corinthians 5:17, for if any man is in union with Christ, he is a new creation. Kainos, brand new, of a new kind or quality, something never seen before. That's what it means. You're not human. You're another kind of human. The Bible itself teaches this, that Jesus came as the reboot of humanity. He came as the firstborn of a new seed line. Not the seed line of Adam, but the seed line of Christ. The firstborn of many brothers out of another womb. There was a new Genesis, which we're a part of, engrafted into his life. If any man is in Christ, he is a new being, a new person altogether. He is in a new world. I'm reading different translations. So not only are you new, but the world you're in is new. Acquaint yourself with the new. You now live in a weird world because you're weird, because God's weird. God is weird, and it's time to show the beauty of his holiness. You know when they're going holy, why they're doing it, yeah? Because he's, wow, holy. It literally means transcendent. They're overshadowing and going, holy, 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 whoa, holy.
Don't look, don't look.
We're in a new world. It says this, the old life, the old order has finished and gone. We're not waiting for something new to happen, like a new wineskin. A new wineskin's already happened. Jesus Christ is that new wineskin. Jesus Christ is plan A. Jesus Christ is the body, the fullness of God in bodily form. He is the way, the truth, and the life. We're waiting for something that's already happened, but the history makers in the faith, they connected with him and realized that as he is, so we are. Wow! The old life is finished and gone. Look, the new has arrived. The Mirror translation says this, in Christ you are a new person. The old ways of seeing yourself and everyone else are over. Acquaint yourself with the new. I love that. Acquaint yourself with the new. That's what's happening in this generation. We're acquainting ourselves with reality. Repentance is to see correctly. Repentance means go to a penthouse and get a different perspective. The word penthouse comes from repentance. You know that, don't you? Bill Johnson's teaching there. I'm just sharing a revelation that Bill teaches. It means to change your perspective. Repent, change your thinking, because the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Now, what would that mean if it was at hand? As close to you as the air that you breathe. Implications are massive, because we keep saying, God, come down. And God's like going, I've come down. I've flooded the earth with who I am. It says in Isaiah 6, the whole earth is full of his glory. What we're coming into is the knowledge of his glory will cover the earth. So it's at hand. This room is full of angels, full of glory. In fact, heaven is right there. Heaven's right around me. The angels, where it says we're encompassed by such a great cloud. And that word encompassed means they encircle us and press us in on every side. We're surrounded by the saints that are cheering us on. We're surrounded by a host of angels. We're here, here, here. Whoa. So we've got to become the mystical community that we're supposed to be in. One of the emails I get regularly is, why do you use the word mystical? I use the word mystical because it's a biblical word, and the whole mystical nature of Christianity is throughout the Bible. You've got Adam walking face to face with God, seeing angels, seeing the tree of life, seeing in that realm. And then right at the end, you've got John moving through time and space. And the whole Bible is encompassed by the fact that we are both spirit and natural. The whole Bible is the mystic secret of Jesus, which is Colossians 2:2 in the Amplified. Mysterion is used over 20 times in the Bible. The word mystical, that we are the possessors of the mystic secrets of God. We should nail that that thing that challenges us over mysticism, because we are mystical. We believe in an unseen world. Let's stop playing games and telling people we're something that we're not, because we are a mystical body. We're a mystical communion. Every one of you here believes you can know God. That's one of the definitions of being mystical. Every one of you here believes that you can know secrets from God. That's another definition of mystical. You already fulfill the definitions of being a mystic. In fact, you believe you're a one mystical body with other people on the planet through time and space. So Colossians 2 says that we've got Jesus, that we may know more progressively and intimately the mystic secret of God, which is Christ. So Jesus wanted to engage us with Nicodemus, and I think Jesus was so frustrated at the religious system. And I mentioned this before, that when Jesus came upon the earth, he's meeting Nicodemus. Jesus, the man, is really excited because he's going to meet a religious leader in his generation, one of the pioneers. They get together and the conversation is a train crash. It's a road wreck, because he wants to talk about heavenly things, and the conversation goes like this. It says basically, he says to him, you've got to be born of the Spirit. And that's too much for the guy. You mean I got to climb back into my mum, he said. It's like, hello, McFly. No, he says this in the message. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, and this is it, listen to this, the invisible moving the visible. He was trying to say where the origin was. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. There's another dimension to us. We're not just earth, we're heaven and earth. We were mixed of breath and earth. We're like nothing else in the cosmos. And it says this, you've got to have a baptism into a new life. It's not possible to enter God's kingdom without it. But this is just the beginning, right? So Jesus said, after he blew his head, he said that was an earthly idea. What I just told you was an earthly concept. Unseen, moving, seen, being born again. He said this, if I've spoken to you about things which happen on this earth and you won't believe me, what chance is there that you will believe me if I tell you about what happens in heaven? That's John 3 verse 12. So Jesus wanted to have a conversation about what happens in heaven. And how many of you guys want to answer his dream? How many of you guys want to be the solution to what Jesus wanted? Because he wanted to show heavenly things. In John 17, he said, I want them to be where I am and to see it. I want them to be where I am. In fact, I'm just going to scoop them back up with me. He had a dream. He wanted to show dimensions that will blow your mind, that are beyond your imagination, beyond the limitations of humanity. He wanted to show you the extravagance of the Father. Yay! And not only that, he wanted you to live in two realms, and he modeled it. He said then in John 3:13, he carries on blowing up Nicodemus. I love Jesus. Jesus didn't have any mercy on the religious system, did he? He blows him up with saying being born again. Then he says, if you can't handle that, you can't handle heaven. And then the icing on the cake is John 3:13, where he says, no one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that's me, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And Jesus came not as the model of God. You know, Bill Johnson teaches this a lot. If he came as God, just God, there's nothing to emulate. But if he came as a man, he came to show us what we're meant to be. He came to remind us of who we are, that we were concealed in God, and he reveals what was hidden in God, that we were in him from the beginning, that he predestined us and foreknew us before time, the Bible says. He revealed what was concealed, true humanity, what we're supposed to be, that we're meant to be in heaven and on earth at the same time. As he is, so we are in this world, John said. That he was Jacob's ladder, an open door at the top, the rock at the bottom, angels ascending and descending through a staircase, the DNA of man, eternity in our hearts, that we've got access in the headship built on the foundation of the rock, that he modeled Jacob's ladder, and he was Jacob's ladder, but as he is, so we are, which means we're gates and doors. Lift up your head, O you gates. Head is headship, government. Turn into the government. Be lifted up. Be elevated above. Look, lift up your eyes to the heavens, the psalm say, then look upon the earth beneath. Because only then will you see it right. Are you guys okay? Is this okay so far? Yeah? Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and said, you stand before a crowd and lock the door of the kingdom of heaven right in front of everyone. You won't enter the kingdom yourselves and you prevent others from doing so. According to the Hebrews, a principality is something that blocks your access to heaven. He was saying the religious system is a principality to a Hebrew. He was saying it's a gate blocker. And he rebuked them for it because he said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way. In John 10:9, then he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out. In and out. Hang on, let's get this right. In and out. I am the door. He will go in and out and find pasture. Which means there's food to eat that you know not of. We can be strengthened and encouraged in the atmosphere of heaven. We can feast on the pasture. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. There's a dimension we're meant to be in that's beyond warfare. I do a lot of warfare, but it's changing how I do warfare. We go in and out. So Jesus' definition of being born again, firstly, if you are born again, you can see. It says, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Jesus defined being born again as you've got sight. And his second definition was you can go in and out. I think we should change the definition. We should change the definition of being born again. Because I think Jesus should define what the message is. This is the gospel, the immense and with incredible love. I'm reading from Ephesians 2. Immense in mercy. I'm so glad we've got a merciful God. Can you imagine if he wasn't merciful? Immense in mercy and with incredible love, he embraced us. Do you know that we were only enemies in our minds? The Bible never says God was our enemy. Adam hid from God. God didn't hide from Adam. Immense and in mercy with incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did this all on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now God has us where he wants us. God has you where he wants you in a heavenly dimension. So what are you going to do about it? Because you can choose to live the rest of your life in a boring, boring, you know, temporal existence. Or you can believe and step in. Believe and step in. I'm beginning to think that maturity isn't how much we know. It's how much we've been in his presence. I'm beginning to think that maturity is measured by how much time we spend in the glory, not on how much we've gone to church. Or how many books we've read. The maturity is FaceTime with him. Do you know every one of you, if you never heard another message, you've already got the gift of God. If you were locked on an island, God would still be there. Heaven would still be there. You would be able to strengthen yourself in the Lord. You're not a namby-pamby powerless person. You are more than a conqueror. You are something of another quality. It's just you haven't seen it yet, but you're going to see it. The times require it. England requires it. Europe's day requires it. The Christianity changes in our generation. Colossians 3:3, your old life is dead. Get over it. Your old life is dead. You've had a funeral. You've had a tomb. Get over it. Just embrace your funeral. How was it? How did it feel? It was easy. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. I'm in Christ in God. In Christ in God. I'm in him. He's in me. As Paul said, if we're besides ourselves, it's all God's fault. Of course we're going to be whacked. That word besides is ecstasis, because I'm in him and he's full of bliss and joy. And in fact, we're meant to enter into the joy of the Father. It says, I came to bring joy and life more abundantly. Jesus was anointed with more joy than all of his brothers, it says in Hebrews. We've got the glad message of the happy God, 1 Timothy 1:11. Of course we're whacked. Why wouldn't we be whacked? Why wouldn't we be out of our minds? Because at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And that's what David tapped into. David saw this day and he lived out of it. And James testified. Well, James testified that when the Gentiles got saved, they said, under the spirit of revelation, James said, this is David's full intent. The Gentiles are getting whacked. Because David lived out of something. He'd seen something that he came to give us joy, and joy more abundantly, a different kind of joy. John 10:10. I'm going to have my portion of joy because that's my strength, and true authority is based on him being my encourager. David was the man that he was because he strengthened himself in the Lord. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's how John could be on the Isle of Patmos and not wither like a prune, because he was in the Spirit. That's how Paul and Silas could be worshiping in the prison, because they were in the Spirit. That's how you could be happy working in McDonald's, because you're in the Spirit. Or in Asda's, because you're in the Spirit. And they say, if you're mad, it's all God's fault. If I be mad, it's for God's cause. That's what Paul said in another translation. If I be out of my mind or hijacked into ecstasy. Whoa, ho, ho, ho. Religion has a habit of making us grumpy. That's how Paul knew in Galatians. He knew that they'd forgotten the gospel. He said this. He said this line. He said, who stole your joy? He had no patience for the circumcisers. He even said this. He says, if they're going to circumcise, why don't they go all the way and chop the whole thing off? And see how that works out for them. Wait. Romans 8:30, and those he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and conditional state of being. You've been raised to a heavenly dignity. We've got to understand the dignity of the gospel, the dignity of the gospel. You've been dignified by the gospel. He himself has provided the lamb. He himself has clothed you. He himself has elevated you because he chose you. He dreamed you. He loves you. And he has given you a heavenly dignity and condition of state of being. We must come back to the dignity of the gospel. This isn't about, well, you know, fighting sin. It's about discovering who we now are. The Bible itself says the sinful nature was cut off just like the foreskin. You've got no need for it. I'm using biblical language. The Bible's so much more offensive than the churches. We've got to get back to being biblical. We keep talking about being biblical. We've got to be biblical. You don't need your foreskin. It's been cut off. Stop carrying it around with you. It says it was stripped away on the cross. It was stripped away. You were given a new heart, a Godward heart, a heart of flesh, a God-thinking heart. See, we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Because our thinking's been wrong. Our thinking's been wrong. Our thinking's been wrong. But it's changing now. It's changing. Woohoo! One of the things the angel said when they came to our house in 2005 or 2006, I think it was 2005, October, one of the audible voices said, they're starting to believe. And there was like the noise of hundreds of children laughing in my living room. It was such an extraordinary encounter. I hardly ever talk about it. But one of the things that they said was this. There was a laugh, and one of them said, they've got no idea what's coming for them. Oh. And since then, I've seen some weird stuff. I have. Really, I have. I have seen some stuff you would not believe, but I know it's nothing compared to what's coming. It is nothing compared to what God is going to do. So it's time to relocate ourselves mentally. Colossians 3 verse 1 in the Mirror Translation says, relocate yourself mentally. Because it says this, engage your thoughts with throne room realities. His resurrection co-raised you, co-raised, co-coed, you were co-planted into his death, co-crucified. Galatians 2:20 in the Distilled Translation, I have been co-crucified together with Christ. Coco, you've had your coco, you've been co-planted into his tomb. His tomb is your tomb, but you've been co-raised into newness of life. His resurrection co-raised you to the same position of authority where you are now co-seated in the executive authority of God's right hand. So I think the church has got to change now because we need to be above it all. Far above it all, it says in Scripture. We need a church that governs from above. That's not under the weather, it's over the weather. It's not under the economy, it's over the economy. It's not under principalities and powers, it's over principalities and powers. It's not under the law of sin and death, it's over sin and death. That it's got the record of life and immortality. Wow, 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 wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Going half an hour, yeah?
That's part one, half an hour. I just talked about new creation realities, the gospel. All I was preaching was the gospel. The gospel's powerful. I get so inebriated, intoxicated by reading through Romans. I'm enjoying it so much. I've just been reading about being planted into his death in baptism. In the likeness of his death. If we have become one, it says this in one translation, if we've become one by sharing a death like his. Shizzies! If we've become one by sharing in a death like his, so then we shall share in his resurrection. Shizzies, you guys are sharing in his death. You believe that as a Christian. How about sharing in his life and seeing the implications of what that will mean? Okay, so part one, part two. For the next half an hour, I'm going to talk about the heavenly ecclesia and the implications of the gospel that for this generation, we're going to determine life and death situations to the degree that we participate in the heavenly councils. Isaiah says this, in the last days, are we in the last days? The mountain of the Lord's temple will be on the highest of all mountains. So how many of you guys know when we're talking about mountains on mountains, we're talking in unseen realms. We're talking about waves and breakers and frequencies, wave patterns. We're talking about quantum realities. All your waves and breakers have broken over me. We're talking about frequency. We're talking about other dimensions, a mountain on a mountain. And it says, this is the amazing thing. It will be raised higher than the hills. Then there will be a steady stream of people going there. This is what the Bible says. In the last times, there will be a steady stream of people going into a quantum world. Let's continue. It says, many people shall come and say, many people, not one or two people are going into heaven in our generation. No, no, no. It says, many, many people will say, come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord. Groups, hubs around the nation, around the world. This is already happening, by the way, but it's going to intensify because it's a season of grace, not works. No one has to be left out. You're already included. All being left out is an illusion. There is no distance from between you and the Lord. You're in him, he's in you. Heaven, you're in heaven and heaven's at hand. Perfect love casts out fear. It's faith that accesses it. Faith that you dare to have the guts to overcome what you've seen and step in and go, I'm in. FaceTime. Woo! Wow. Oh. Wow. It says, many people will say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. Who's going to teach us? He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. Wow, the paths of God. The ancient paths. The ancient paths precede the Old Testament. And we shall walk in his path, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We're Jerusalem. We're the bride. It says in Revelation, the word's going to come out of Jerusalem in a heavenly dimension, in the councils and in the government of God. Micah 4 says the same thing. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Then, this is an amazing thing, right? The people shall flow to it then. God will teach us his way of living and we will follow him. His teaching, the Lord's message, will begin in Jerusalem on Mount Zion and will go out to all of the world. Micah 4 verse 2. Way. Now Paul was unapologetic in his portrayal of where we exist. He said this, but you have come to Mount Zion. Not will come, you have come. We have come to Mount Zion. You know when you pray, do you know where you appear? Can I just tell you something interesting about Mount Zion? Mount Zion, if you imagine our planet and all the different countries and stuff that's there, Mount Zion is like that kind of scale. It's multidimensional. It's got courts and layers. You've got the people under the throne crying out in the court system. The martyrs crying out. You've got the heavens and the heavens of heavens. When you engage Mount Zion, you actually see there's a realm above it. This is absolutely true. I'm telling you from first-hand experience that there's a realm above Mount Zion that we can access. You see the cloud of God above Mount Zion where the Father waits for intimacy. You see Eden trailing off it where he walks. You see the in the mountain, there's the treasury of the Lord. There's rooms, there's places of government, there's spheres, dimensions. It's an amazing place that we've not only started to discover, but it's time to map the unseen. It's so exciting when you go somewhere and you find someone else and they've been to the same place and they describe it just like you saw it. You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels. Mount Zion, Jerusalem, angels. We're surrounded by them. And we should start to honor what the Lord honors because he made them and he loves them. So we should love them. And he knows every one of them by name. So it's okay for you to know every one of them by name. Because he does. And as he is, so you are. Angels should be as common for you as seeing humans. Because that's how common it is for the Lord. It says he surrounds himself in an innumerable company of angels, which means a number you can't count, which means it would be really strange for you to keep going to Mount Zion and not encountering angels. Because innumerable means kind of unavoidable. We need a new normal of walking with angels because Jesus is the pattern, not what religions told us. There is the general assembly of the Church of the Firstborn who are registered.
That's us. We're registered.
We've got our registration ticket. That is good. Then there's God, the judge of all. Papa God's there.
But he's there as the judge. Wow.
Whoa. Whoa. To the spirit of just men made perfect. Who's been made perfect? The saints. And they are intrinsically involved in everything that's going on. It's not a big retirement club. It says there's one, if in Ephesians 3, it says in verse 14 or 15, it says there's one family in heaven and on earth. There's one body. Consider this, we think that all of creation's waiting for the manifestation of the church on the earth. Where does the Bible say that? No, it says all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons. You've got to think about that. It says, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. I don't think anyone heard me. 13.8 billion light years of known universe just in this dimensional plane are waiting for the revelation of the sons of God, not the church on the earth. So what are they doing now? Well, we presume that they remain in heaven. I've got a whole teaching on the cloud of witnesses, which I hope to bring next time we meet. But there are several times in Scripture where it gives them specific assignments for people to come out of heaven. One guy comes out in Zechariah and has to mark people's heads. You have two guys come out of heaven when Jesus ascended to tell everybody, what are you looking at? You have Moses and Elijah appearing on the mountain. You have countless saints that rose out of the graves and wandered round. So they've already been resurrected. So, what am I saying? You are going to encounter, and I have encountered many times, different saints. I'm preaching Bible here. Forget religious mindsets that have made death the access point. Death is in the access point. You're there already. What's wrong is the way you think. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is the problem here, not your condition. Your kinos. You're a citizen of heaven. It would be pretty dumb to be a citizen of a country and think you have to die to visit that country. Jesus is there, the mediator of the new covenant. I just did a conference in Germany. There was like 350 people there. Do you know the kids went into heaven? It was amazing. And the stories are amazing. Unless you become like a child. And it says there's the blood. That's a kind of spooky, weird thing. The blood, but it's actually the gospel speaking that you're innocent, redeemed, loved, adopted. It's the gospel speaking that speaks of a better covenant than what happened with Abel. It's the blood that speaks that you are righteous, that you accepted. Do you know how you get righteous? Go to heaven. You don't get righteous to go. You go and become righteous. Where's that in the Bible? Isaiah 6, I saw the Lord. So he went into the heavenly dimension. He turned into the present. I saw the Lord and he was high and lifted up. I'm a man of unclean lips. He got cleansed. Zechariah 3, Joshua the high priest is standing in filthy rags and the Lord says, change his clothes. That's why it's called the throne of grace. This trans-dimensional mountain, we've been encountering different places in that mountain. We've been encountering the universal gathering, which is the Sanhedrin or the Galactic Council. I've only had one time, actually two times, where I've been permitted to go there, and I've not participated in it, but I've observed it. It's where they look at the scrolls of nations and galaxies and think matters to do with big importance, and there's those that observe, and then there's those that engage with the council. The ones on the council, I'm telling you stuff you don't know, but it's true nonetheless, okay? It's true. Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean it's not true. My encouragement to you is engage heaven and see. I saw Abraham, actually I've seen it three times actually, because I saw Abraham present the scroll of England. And I saw something strange. I saw that Abraham had birthed England out of his desire. I had no grid for that. But it says many nations were going to be blessed because of him. And this is one of the biggest blessed nations on the planet. And I saw that he was going to release many voices. I actually heard them say that many voices would come. And this was the amazing thing. After I heard that, David Cameron said word for word what I'd heard. He said that the result of the Scotland thing was an understanding that England didn't have its own voice. And it was time to make room for many voices. It was exactly what I heard in the Sanhedrin when I was in Leicester. Caught up in the spirit. And I saw that over the next 7 years, God is going to untangle systems of control and release many voices. So there's the throne and the sea of glass there. That's where people trade. I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my pain. and I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. And you present your offerings before him on the sea of glass. There's the Chamber of Kings. Now, the Chamber of Kings is an unusual thing because I started engaging the courtroom of heaven, and I would go in the spirit by faith and see a courtroom, which is my personal place with the Lord and the cloud of witnesses, and I would engage issues that the Lord had moved me on. Do you know how God invites you into the court? By compassion. Something moves your heart and you go, oh, that's the pull of heaven and an invitation. Now, this is the amazing thing. If you don't go, the situation doesn't change. It's just like Job. The book of Job is all about this concept, is that at the start, there's someone who wrote the book of Job seeing that it's a court case from day one. Sees Satan presenting himself, sees the court case. Then as the debate goes on, and Job suffers, his wife says to Job, why don't you admit what you've done wrong? It says, agree with your adversary quickly, right? And then one of his friends said, have you stood in the council, the sword of God? He actually asked that question. Then, I've got all the scriptures for this. Job answers and says, can anyone stand before God and have an advocate? Someone that who speaks on their behalf with God? And as the conversation goes on, he says this amazing line. He says, I have seen my advocate. I know that my case has been heard and it's going to be granted me. I've got all the scriptures for this. Do you know what happens after that? Justice comes out of the courts of heaven. He comes with thunder and lightnings and restores twice everything that was stolen. But it didn't happen in the narrative until Job realized he was engaged in a heavenly courtroom. Then there's the council, or the intimate council of God, where they talk like friends. It means a secret. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. The Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. And I've seen all kinds of intimate councils. It's where the Lord talks face to face. And he says, what do you think about this? This is an amazing thing. The Bible says that he needs no counselors. But why does he do it? You see, he did it with Abraham. He had the intimate council when the three showed up and they said to Abraham, shall we hide from Abraham what we're going to do? And the Lord's got a dimension for you where he goes, shall I hide from you what I'm going to do? It's called the intimate counsels of God. I love that. That's my heart's quest, is to be this, under the shadow of his wing. True. It's under the shadow of his wing. It's a place. I described it in detail in Australia last month to Ian. And Ian said, that's where we're supposed to meet. I've been there regularly over the last few years. And I find it astonishing that we're going to be able to meet each other there. I've seen Enoch there and some of the elders there. I saw a friend of mine there 3 weeks ago, Mark Steen, in my dream in the night. I got up and I contacted him and I said, did you see me in heaven last night? He said, yeah, I saw you in heaven last night. We were together. Are you guys okay? I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm not trying to be sensational. We have to realize the gospel is sensational. We believe in a God that walks on water. We believe in, you know, living creatures. We believe weird stuff. Just get weird. Get with the program. I'm telling you intimate stuff. I'm making myself vulnerable here. But not for your praise, for his praise. Then there's the angelic canopy. How many of you guys have been in the angelic canopy that swirls around the throne, the courts of the angels? That's awesome. To me, what it looks like is like someone setting off fireworks, but all swirling and moving and making sound. And it's so beautiful. And I've been there a few times and I've stepped into it and asked for angelic help. I presented my case before the Lord in that dimension. Are they not all ministering spirits sent to those who will inherit salvation? There's the war and strategy room where they discuss strategic things with nations. And then there's the place of documentation, books, scrolls, and blueprints. Your scrolls there, all of your days are written in a book before any of them came to be. Everything's been scripted. Your job is to fulfill what was written. That's called convergence. It's called the good works that are prepared in advance for you to do. The Lord spoke to Bobby Connor once and said, do you know what profanity is to me? And he said, no, Lord. He said, profanity to me is people doing anything that I didn't originate. So we've got to remove the profane and synchronize with the scroll. I know, for example, and I was thanking the Lord today, it's in my scroll to be here. That's why I'm courageous. If I had any doubt, I'd be scared stiff for coming to Bath. I would be. It was so intimidating. Because it's in my scroll, I'm bold, because when I've seen and heard, I do. And you're going to find faith in understanding your scroll. And one of the ways that you know it is because it's in your heart. What's in your heart? Because you've been called to fulfill what was written in the books. In fact, I got a whole teaching on this called The Sacred Dance. It's on our website. So it's a place of incredible power, and we've got free access. It says in Ephesians 3:12 that we've free access because of our faith in him. We dare to have the boldness, courage, and confidence of free access and unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. So you can go face to face with God because you've already died. As Rick Joyner says, we're all as close to God as we want to be. You're powerful because it says you've been given free access. So my question always to the people is, what are you going to do about it? You're surrounded by angels and saints. What are you going to do about it? You can go to heaven tonight. What are you going to do about it? You're no longer human. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about the implications of the gospel? Whoa. Wow. It says this in Hebrews 4, so let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace. The message adds this, let's walk right up to him and get what he's so ready to give. Haven't given us Jesus. We need to start engaging court cases. We need to start winning, but not from war in here where we give the enemy a man to fight with. That's what Goliath wanted. Come on, give me a man to fight with. The current church strategy is, okay guys, let's rally the troops. Let's go for some intercession and charge at Goliath. That's how we do warfare. We were never meant to do warfare from there. We were meant to do it in the courts where we know what the Lord has said. And he said, David's response was, how dare you? Swung his stone at him, cut off his head. How dare you? I love kicking devil butts. But I don't do it by giving him a man to fight with, even though he'll try and trick me into doing that, and sometimes I accidentally do. That's not the way that we're meant to be. We're meant to be far above. There's a new type of warfare coming. You know when the court judges in your favor, there is no warfare. There's just landing scrolls. There's just landing scrolls. So I had the honor. You know the law of honor will take you places that you wouldn't even believe. The law of honor. Set your mind on things above. I hold heaven in my heart. I hold it in my affections. What you're affectionate about, you can access. Desire. What you desire will be done for you. You set your mind on things above. You actually can do that. You can turn into it. He says in Revelation, I was in the spirit. I heard a voice. How many of you guys have been in the presence and heard a voice? Well, what he did differently was this. He said, I turned and saw. And then he's in the spirit, right? Get this. And then the spirit comes on him again. And then there's another elevation. I saw a door and immediately I was in the spirit. So he was in the spirit, in the spirit. Do you know the purpose of the presence is to give you access to being in the spirit, in the spirit? We say, oh, the presence of the Lord is lovely tonight. This is lovely. And I love it. I never demean any of it, but I know what it means to ride on the clouds. Isaiah 60 verse 8, who are these that ride on the clouds and like doves to their windows? Window is a place of access or portal or gateway. Isaiah 60 verse 8, who are these? The ride on the clouds. I know when the glory cloud comes in, it's an invitation to ride. Enoch said this. He said, clouds invited me and mists called me. Then the course of the stars and the lightnings took me swiftly with the winds. All this took me up to heaven. Whoa. Are you guys okay? I think we're almost done for tonight, aren't we, in terms of time? What time is it now? Oh, time's flown. Okay. I don't want to go past how much you guys want to listen tonight, so. But the thing that's astonishing me is how powerful we are. If there's one thing I want you to get out of this school, is that you can shape the future of Bath. You are meant to. We're not victims of times and seasons for England and Wales and these islands. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that we've got to go into another dimension and strengthen ourselves in the Lord and begin to hear what heaven's saying and do what heaven's doing. I was recently in Ireland, and they'd had riots the year before, and it was the anniversary, and they were going out on the streets, and there was a woman in the conference that one of her sons was amongst the rioter, and their other son was on the police force. So they were actually going to be opposite poles. The Lord sent me to that conference. I didn't even know this was going on. He said, I want you to go. I didn't know till I got there, but I accepted the invitation to do this conference because the Lord told me, I want you to shut down a spirit of violence and judge something when you get there. In my first session, I got there on the Friday night. I said, I haven't come here to do a conference. I've come here to do something in the government of God to shut down the spirit of violence. We stepped in as an ecclesia. We repented of agreeing with it. We repented of animosity. We repented of our anger issues. And then we asked the Lord to divorce it from the land and divorce it from Belfast, lift it off. We engaged peace. We engaged rest. We engaged the angelic canopy. Do you know what happened the next day when the riot was on? Nobody started a fight. And the newspaper read, hope triumphs in Belfast. Hope triumphs in Belfast. So I had the honor of following a trail. I love John Sanford, who came up with the Sanford Inner Healing, which led to Sozo and was involved in Toronto. And John and Paula Sanford did a massive thing for our generation. And I knew that he'd been involved in stopping World War III. In the 1960s, when the Cuban Missile Crisis had happened, he had been taken up into heaven and was part of a council that was shown two futures. And on these screens, they were shown what would happen if World War III happened, and what would happen if it didn't happen. And they petitioned the Lord for a change, because the heavens belong to God, but the earth belongs to the sons of men. Like, you're powerful enough to get in a car and come here tonight, aren't you? You're powerful enough to buy a curry on the way home. Why then do you think that when you're in the spirit, you're not powerful to go to a place? Why do you think that when you're in the spirit, you haven't got the same voice? Why do you think that the spirit's all passive, but the rest of your life isn't? Because you believed a lie. You can change things by being present with the Lord and petitioning in the spirit for a different outcome. You can encounter angels, encounter saints who've traded into the destiny of this land. That says that God having prepared something better for us, but them not being complete apart from us. Apart means together. We're going to be together in fulfilling what happens in England. All the saints that have gone before us, Wesley, Whitfield, have all got a stake in what's going to happen and are still alive. Wigglesworth appears all the time on the earth. Because if you sow your life into something and if you see something, you're allowed to participate in something. It's the way it works. That's why Moses and Elijah were on the mountain, because the prophets and law testified. So I met John Sanford because desire will open up doors for you. And I went to his house and I said, and I took Ian Clayton with me and Stevie and Jane and a few others. Ian didn't even know who he was. But when he saw him, he recognized him from heaven. Isn't that awesome? That's how Ian Clayton met Patricia King in heaven. That's how, you know, a friend of ours, Emma Joy, met her husband in the spirit, Andrew. They met in the spirit before they met in the natural. It's a new world opening up. A new order. Whoa. I'm trying to engage with hosting my body in the spirit. That's where I'm at. I've learned how to go in my mind and I've learned how to go in my spirit, but I'm trying to take my body into those dimensional realms. The disappearance of the prophets. So we got to go to his house and he just sat there and I said, tell me about the Cuban Missile Crisis. And he talked about how it stopped. He spoke for 45 minutes. And do you know, I gave you that baton 2 months ago. I gave you a conductor's baton. The Lord Jesus had appeared to him before we arrived and said, my government is like a conductor's baton and I'm handing it out now. And it's not a running baton, it's the symphoneo. remember, if you don't take your place with the baton, now think about this. My way is easy and light. How light is a baton? This isn't a day of striving, guys. If you take responsibility, you have the authority. You cannot conduct the sinfonia unless you say, I will take a position, then authority rests on the position and everything comes into symphony. And it's easy and light. And I've been studying YouTube videos on people conducting. Do you know no two people conduct the same? There doesn't even seem to be any rules to the way they do it. There probably is, Richard. I'm sorry. Sorry, Richard. I saw that look. But you know what? Women and men can conduct. Young and old, and with passion and fire and beauty. And God's government that's been released in these days, these herbs, it's not a doo-doo slavery system. It's the symphonio. It's the beauty of an orchestra. It's the beauty of it all coming back to how it should be. But listen, the orchestra cannot do what it does unless you sit in your place. The cloud of witnesses, the angels, and the saints need people to stand in that position and say, Lord, I don't know how to do it, but teach me your ways. I always go lower to go higher. I go in and say, Lord, I'm the biggest amateur here right now. The amount of times I've stood in situations with the elders and other people, and I've looked around and gone, what am I doing here? But it's okay, because that's where I go as a child. I go in as a baby. I mean, they've been there for thousands of years, and time is relative anyway, so some of them have been there for I can't even work out how long they've been there. So get over it. But he said, you know, when the tsunami happened in Indonesia, and I guess I'll end with this. There was a lot more I could have said. My dad was in not Indonesia, in the Philippines. What's some of those places? Thailand? Yeah, Thailand. He was on the island of Phuket. His hotel was the only hotel built on stilts with a car park. It didn't have normal walls, it had stilts. Every other hotel got knocked down and everybody died except my dad's hotel, because the water went under the hotel. And all he can say is he woke up and his wife was screaming, looking out the window, and he couldn't understand what was happening because he'd just flown in and the water was outside their room. And his brain couldn't work out why the sea was there. And then all these German people swam up the stairs. It sounds funny, but it's not funny, actually, but it does sound quite funny. And one of them had a heart attack there and then, and they were having to sort this out, and he's just got out of bed. And it was just unreal. Well, you know, 200,000-odd people died in that. After that happened, the Lord spoke to John Sanford and said, he named an exact location. He says, there will be another earthquake shortly, and this time 1 million people are going to die. He engaged the heavenly council. He positioned himself for that and was taken up. And he was allowed to petition the Lord that it wouldn't happen. But do you want to know what happened? The earthquake still happened. It's a scientific anomaly. The earthquake hit exactly where it was supposed to, but it didn't cause any devastation. Scientists to this day are baffled by what happened. We cannot have a victim mentality any longer about the weather. We can. We can engage the storms. All of creation's waiting for this. God's going to redefine ecclesia. He is. He's redefining what it means to be one body in heaven and on earth. The ecclesia means the government. Remember, Peter, I will build my ecclesia, which it means the Senate, or the ones that govern. It was from the Greek Parliament. You can look it up on Wikipedia or Encyclopedia Britannica or in Strong's. You'll find he didn't say, I will build my Sanhedrin. Why didn't he build a Sanhedrin? I'll tell you why. Because Sanhedrin was religious. It only went for a certain ethnos, and it was under Rome. Do you know what the Greek Parliament was? It was the called out ones from society. They were called the called out. And we say, we're called out. And my answer to that is, what are we called out to? Because you're basing it on ecclesia, but you haven't looked at what it means. It means you are called out to govern And they sat, the ecclesia in the Greek parliament in Athens, 400 years before Christ. Jesus chose that word to describe what he was going to build. They were allowed to call politicians into account, business people, nominate who was in government. And all matters pertaining to the whole government of the region was governed by the called out ecclesia. And that's why, you know, who was Lord Mayor before Boris Johnson? Ken Livingstone. Because, and I've told you guys exactly what happened, and this is the honest truth. I'm willing to swear before you that this is what happened. I was so grieved when he stood in the mosque with his shoes off and he talked in the mosque during the election campaign, but he said this: I want to make London a beacon of Islam, Ken Livingstone, and I want everyone in London to hear the message of Islam. He said that in a mosque to get trading. Remember why Satan was thrown out of heaven? It says in Ezekiel, by the multitude of his tradings, he was thrown out of the mountain. He was going to trade. And I, you know that London is the economic head of the whole planet. So if London, as goes the head, so goes the body. So if London became a beacon of Islam, the whole world's financial systems come under the beacon of Islam. When I heard that, I knew that I could go in the courts because I was moved with grieving in my spirit, which for me meant I was invited to participate. What I did was I was going to go to my small council, my small court, which is in my heart with the Lord. And when I went to step into that place where I've seen him many times, I found I didn't go there at all. And this is where the wonder comes into the mystic realm, is you think you'll end up where you think you're going. Sometimes the Lord overrules it and it'll take you to a completely different place. And what happened was, I was praying over my mum's house because that's where I can be alone. I was engaged in the presence of God, feeling it in my heart. I knew it was time to step in. I could feel that groaning, that longing. I stepped in, I went to make my case, and I found I was sitting on a throne. And all I can describe that this throne felt like the most comfortable seat you can ever imagine. It was like a lazy boy. But it was a beautiful throne. But the feeling of it was like rest, like you were made for sitting in this. This felt so easy. And this was the amazing thing. Boris Johnson phased in front of me and Ken Livingstone. And I was allowed to release what happened. The Lord was standing over me. And I said, I remove the favor. I move it on to Boris and I say, Ken Livingstone, this is the end of your career. Do you know what happened? I've got it all in the press. That day, 3% swing. He won the election. I've got photographs of Ken Livingstone crying, which for me were victory. The justice of God. The justice of God. And I've got the statement where he said, this is the end of me being in politics. Imagine if a generation starts to live in the spirit. Synchronized in the head. It's not my will be done, it's your will be done. But we've got to be present. That was the whole story of Job. If you're not present, Satan gets his voice heard. So I've been vulnerable in what I've shared with you tonight. But I'm willing to be vulnerable because I've seen something that's worth being vulnerable over. I've seen something that's worth being persecuted over because I've seen the effects of this. I've seen the reality of it. We're powerful. Okay, I'm done for tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to rest on everyone here, that they would feast on this even in their sleep, and that, Lord, you would open up dimensions of engagement with you in the kingdom realm of the Father that they've never had before. Even at night, you'd sleep, but your heart was awake. Lord, I ask for everyone to have the courage to step in by faith. Lord, I asked, I believe, you know, I heard someone preach the other day on like people paying the price for revival. I think the price in our generation, this is just my opinion, is will we be willing to go in the spirit? And we are willing. Should we present ourselves in the court now? Okay, everybody stand up. I know we haven't got space to step in. But maybe what we could do is just, we're going to move by faith. Just we're going to move that veil and we're going to just move into it, if you lean into it, okay? So we're going to do this together. Father, we're standing as an ecclesia for this nation and for this planet. And we're joining the ecclesia of heaven because there's one body in heaven and on earth. And tonight, Lord, I want the court to be sat. I ask, Lord, that the court would seat and the books would be opened, just like Daniel saw, that you sit as judge. We appeal to you as judge, and as for the recorders and the books to be opened. And by faith, Lord, we're going to do something. We're going to believe. We're going to be believing believers in England that step into Zion and to the throne of grace. So right now, by faith, we move the veil and we step through. We turn into the kingdom realm of the Father. Thank you, Lord, that there is justice to be found. Thank you, Lord, that there is that you're our Father, but you're our judge. That Jesus is our brother and our husband, but he's our advocate. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, but he's also our counselor. That heaven is ruled in our favor, that we're home, that we're blessed in spiritual places, we're seated in spiritual places. I thank you for the saints that stand by, that they encircle us even now, and they see our childlike faith. I thank you for the innumerable company of angels. We honor you, we acknowledge you, we apologize for our lack of honoring, because it's closed the door to you moving. We address the angelic canopy and we say the door is open in England. The door is open in these islands for an influx of the angelic realm. We honor the saints. We say, saints, we are sorry that we've believed a lie, because it says that no one's dead in Christ. Everyone's alive in you. You said you were, Jesus, you said you were the God of the living. We honor the living church and we say, forgive us that we've said we don't need you. The truth is we need you, and we ask for the help of heaven. For even if Jesus needed the encouragement of Moses and Elijah, therefore we must need it also. And we ask that everyone here would begin to encounter who you choose, Lord. Not our will, your will. Whoever's connected to the scrolls of their lives, whoever's got a stake in what's happening in this land, we open up the door for encounter with you. We honor the court today, Lord, and I ask the court this day that you'd release governors and tutors to each one here to teach us in the mystic secrets of God. I honor what Daniel petitioned, that in the last days the book of truth would be opened and you would reveal the mysteries that it was locked up until the latter day. We say on behalf of England, let this be a revelatory nation. Let this be a nation that stands in the councils and hears the voice that now speaks and begins to change the world just like it's supposed to. Because I see the scroll of England, that this is meant to be a voice crying in the wilderness, a voice crying in Europe. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path, level the mountains and raise the valleys. Lord, I ask even now that scrolls of oracles would come into everybody's heart. This is what I'm seeing, guys. Just grab those flying scrolls. We embrace them by faith and put them in our mountain, in our heart. That the word of the Lord would come. It says that John ate the book, and after that he had words for many nations. Out of this land will come words for the economy and nations and the environment and technology and for space and what's beyond. We receive that which no eye has seen, no ear has heard. Today it enters into the heart of this ecclesia. Though there is one body, and I ask, Lord, for an infusion of life between the connections of everyone here. That we would see there's only one church. We embrace our oneness. We say there is unity in the Spirit. We determine to pray in the Spirit, to worship in the Spirit. Whoa. Thank you, my Father. Lord, I ask that you would open up parts of heaven no one's ever seen. And Lord, I ask we begin to meet each other in that dimension, and that you would shape the earth with things we've never dreamed of. We honor Elijah, that you said that in the end times the spirit of Elijah would come. I believe that the spirit of Elijah is to manifest the wonders. And Lord, we ask that these would be days of awe and wonder. We give you permission today in the records of heaven to change us. To transform us by the renewing of our minds, that we might prove your good, perfect, and acceptable will. We honor the court. Thank you, Your Majesty. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just honor the judge. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We love you. We love you with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, Lord, friend. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. My soul will rest in.